You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn to Luke, the first chapter. We're going to start there and see where we wind up. You know, it's Christmas season, and I always like to, at least a couple weeks ahead of time, to talk about Christmas. You know, because we hear, you're going to hear a lot about Christmas in the world, but you're probably not going to hear the truth. You know, it's so commercialized, and we all know that, and sound like a broke record in church to say that. You kind of get the idea in some churches that we're against Christmas. We're not. We love Christmas. We're for it. I'm for any time we can, the world will recognize the birth of Christ. I believe it gets commercialized, and I believe we forget sometimes what it's about, and sometimes we're so wrapped up in the presents and making sure everybody's got one, get our Christmas cards out, and all the rush and the hustle and the bustle, that we forget it's about Jesus. It's His birthday, you know, that we're celebrating. Now, do I believe He was born that time of year? No, actually, I don't. But we do take a time and celebrate a time that He was born. Most likely, He was born at the end of harvest when they taxed people and, you know, when they had money and the shepherds were out in the fields at night. And it wasn't a cold winter's night. They didn't stay out in the fields on cold winter's night. But that's not the point. The point is we do take a day aside and we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen, somebody. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. And it's a wonderful time to witness. It's a wonderful time to tell people about Jesus. You know, because the whole world pays attention to this event. I mean, they're out partying and giving gifts and everything. And we can tell them what it's all about. Yeah. Hallelujah. So in Luke is the beginnings or the prequel, as it were, Luke, the first chapter, of leading up to the birth of Christ, what is often called the Annunciation, you know, where Gabriel the angel appeared to Mary. Before he appeared to Mary, he appeared to Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist. And Zacharias was an old man. He was an older man. Him and Elizabeth were married and didn't have any children, barren. And they were on in years and probably past time in the natural of giving birth to children. And the angel appeared to Zacharias as he was fulfilling his duty as a priest, his priesthood duty. You know, taking care of the temple. They had certain times and months that certain tribes of the Levites would go in. They would serve in the temple. And while he was there, an angel appeared to him. You know the story. Gabriel appeared to him. It didn't turn out so well for Zacharias, incidentally, because he doubted what the angel said about him having a child in his old age. And he was struck dumb, didn't speak until the child was born. Right. Until he named him John. And that's when his mouth was loosed and he began to prophesy. Hallelujah. But in the interim, 6 months after that announcement, Gabriel appeared to Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was most likely a teenager at that time, a very young woman, who was a fiancé, I guess you'd say, or betrothed, as it were, promised to Joseph. They were, promised to each other to marry. She had not married him yet. She was betrothed. As they say, betrothed, to be married. And he appears to her 6 months later and tells her she's going to have a child. And we know the story. That child's going to be Jesus. So named by the angels, incidentally. The angel's the one that told her what to name Jesus because he would save his people from her sins. And that's significant. The word Jesus means Savior. It's the Hebrew word Joshua, deliverer, a Savior, which denotes what this is all about. This is all about salvation. It's all about being saved from our sins. Hallelujah. God visited His people. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. He was called Jesus, for He shall save His people from our sins. But He appeared to Mary and told her, you know, what was going to happen, not knowing a man. And she said, how shall these things be? And He explained that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her, you know, that thing which would be born of her would be of the Holy Spirit. And He says this. Let me get my glasses out here. I'm kind of setting you up. It's a long chapter, you know. Lots going on here. In the 40... In the 30... let's go 34. We'll just start there. I know I said a little of this, but then Mary said to the angel, how can this thing be since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. I love that. And I think that's significant. I could preach on that. We could have a camp meet on that verse alone. That many things cannot be. Many things are impossible. Many things will never happen in the natural. But when the Holy Spirit overshadows something, it changes everything. Yes, yes, amen. Yes. See, what was impossible became possible by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Sometimes, you know, we give up because we're not yielding to the Spirit. We're not trusting in the Spirit. And we're not trusting the power of the highest to bring it to pass. And everything in the natural has fallen through. And in our vast knowledge and vast age that we've lived upon this earth, so much smarter than God, we know there's only one or two ways this can happen. And when those things fall through, there's no possible way that this will ever come to pass. And yet, when the Holy Spirit comes on the scene, the power of the highest comes on us. The things that are impossible with men become possible with God. That's why we never give up, amen? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. We trust it. It's not by might, it's not by power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Okay, now, so he's telling her this, and he says that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. I love that. Mary was not the mother of God. Mary was the mother of Jesus, the man part of God. God became a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the mother of that flesh and that man was Jesus. But now God doesn't have a mother. God bless Catholics, before Catholics. I thank God for Catholics. I love the Catholics, love the Catholic Church, love the people, you know, that preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, the sinless life, and salvation through what he did. Thank God for the Catholic Church. This is just a point sometimes we get confused because we'll say Mary, Mother of God, but actually she's not the Mother of God. She was the mother of the man. God didn't begin 2,000 years ago. God himself was not born. God became a man, and that man we call Jesus, he was a God-man. He'd always been God. He always existed as God. But he never had a beginning as God, but he had a beginning as a man. The man we call Jesus Christ. So he was God for eternity, but he was only man 2,000 years ago. That says what the Scripture teaches. So if you want to differ with that, then you're going to have to rewrite the Bible. But anyway, so what we have here was God overshadowed Mary by the power of the Holy Ghost, and what was born from her was the Son of God. Hallelujah. Yes. And it says in 36 verse, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, actually her cousin, has also conceived a son in her old age. This is Zacharias' wife. And this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. So John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. Y'all see that? And that annunciation where Gabriel appeared to Zacharias earlier in his chapter, we know must have happened 6 months before this. Amen? Because it says she's in her 6th month, in her old age. For with God nothing will be impossible. I love that. You know, I think sometimes we miss this too, this verse, especially in King James, New King James, and even some of the modern translations. Actually, if you looked at that word up in the Greek, which I can do that right here while I'm talking to you and preaching with my iPad. What it says here is that for with God no thing, no spoken word, no thing God says will be impossible. Actually, that word there where it says nothing, the word there is actually several words, which is ou, not, pos, thing, rhema, spoken word. So what God was saying was, he wasn't saying nothing's impossible. He was saying nothing he says is impossible. No spoken word. God has said this, and nothing he says is impossible. Boy, I like that. So if you could, there's a lot of things impossible. It's impossible for God to lie, isn't it?
Yeah.
That would be impossible. So, you know, you can go through a whole scenario of things like that God can do. But one thing for sure, if God says something, it's possible. No thing He says is impossible.
That's true.
He says, well, I don't know about that. Well, that's your problem. So you need to get in faith because no thing He says is impossible.
That's right.
If God said she was going to have a child out of man, then she was going to have a child out of man because that's what God said.
That's right.
And no thing God says is impossible. God says you can live, not die, then you'll live and not die. Isn't that right? If God says you'll make it and you'll be blessed and not be cursed, and He says you go over, not under, and He says that He'll supply every need your, you know, according to His riches and glory by Christ, if God said that, then that's what's going to happen.
That's right.
Because no thing God says is impossible.
Right.
Woo! I love it. In fact, actually, there is a translation, the American Standard Version, of that verse actually says, for no word from God shall be void of power. Ooh, man, I like that. Isn't that good? That's a good translation of that verse. That's the American Standard Version. For no word from God shall be void of power. There's one more. Yeah. There's another translation that says, for everything spoken by God is possible. Oh, wow. That is so good. Actually, that's not even what I'm teaching on. I just wanted to set you up there and give you a little background that, you know, that Gabriel, the angel, had visited Zacharias and announced the birth of John the Baptist. 6 months later, he visited Mary, the Annunciation. You ever heard that term, the Annunciation, the announcement? That's where he announced the birth of Christ. You often see there's famous paintings, you know, of the angel appearing and Mary bowing down and so on, you know, and you see those paintings, and that's what that is. Well, it's interesting, he said this, for no thing that God says will be impossible, no rhema, no spoken word. 38th verse says, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So there was a human element in this. The human element always is pretty simple. The human element in God's miracles is the element of acceptance, the element of faith, the element of trust. Not a whole lot else we can add to the equation, but we do have to accept. We do have to receive. We do have to believe. I don't believe that her faith caused this to happen. Her faith was the condition for this to happen. The power of the highest caused it to happen. Amen? And so we're not, you know, when I'm believing God and standing on His Word, I'm not causing things to happen by my faith. God is the cause of the miracle, the healing, the deliverance, the answered prayer. But my faith is the condition of it. God will cause it if I meet the condition. And it's not something I can earn. It's not something I can pay for. It's not something I deserve. It's just something I can believe, that's all. By grace are you saved through faith. Amen. So it's just trust. So what Mary did here was trust. And boy, that's a teaching in itself too. My goodness. I'm going to speed this up because y'all took way too long before I got this pulpit. Because what I want to teach on is the Magnificat. Not the Annunciation. But the Magnificat, the prayer, or the praise, or the song that she sang when she came and visited her cousin Elizabeth, which is just powerful when you begin to take it apart. But what we see here is how promises happen, how words become flesh and dwell among us. I like that. I taught a message on that. I might wind up teaching here in the next few weeks. How does the Word become flesh and dwell among us? That's what the Bible says in John 1. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, there's a word. You talk about words. There's a lots of words here in this Bible. There's all kinds of promises and that God has given us. How did they become flesh and dwell among us? How do we behold the glory of them? Well, you're going to have to be like Mary and say, be it unto me according to your word. You're going to have to believe. Believing causes God's words to become flesh and dwell among us. There is a doorway into this earth And that doorway, God has chosen to do it this way. That doorway is your faith. As you believe, then you, these promises, these words, these things He says He'll do become flesh, and healing becomes real, and deliverance comes, and finances come, and peace comes, and these things and these pages come off these pages and become flesh, and you beheld the glory of them when you say, like she said, be it unto me according to your word. No big secret. Not complicated. God's looking for somebody to believe. That's what He found in Mary. He found someone who believed. So she said, be it unto me according to your word, and the angel departed from her. 39th verse, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth, her cousin. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. Woohoo! And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. My. Yeah. Then she spoke out with very quietly and timidly in a whisper. Holy, reverent, quiet, pious. No, it says she spoke out with a loud voice. And said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I mean, Mary, now get this. Mary walks in the door of the house, and she greets her. You know, I mean, she greeted Elizabeth. Hello, Elizabeth. You know, her voice. Hello, Elizabeth. And the babe in Elizabeth's womb leaps. And Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. And she says, blessed are you among women, with a loud voice. Are you with me? I think sometimes we miss that. You want to read along there. And we, you know, that was nice that she said it. She said that loudly. Loudly. I mean, there was some power. There was a bolt of from heaven came down and struck that room where they were. She said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now listen, she's prophesying. She's not, I mean, not necessarily predicting. She's prophesying. The spirit of prophecy has come upon her. And the Holy Ghost has moved now in this room. Just as soon as Mary stepped in there and said what she said, in that moment of time, the presence of God came into that room. And it came on Elizabeth, and she began to prophesy. And by the Holy Ghost, she knew that this was the mother of her Lord. How else would she know that? Are you with me? I mean, how else would she know? The Spirit of God just shot a revelation through her spirit. And she began to shout. Hallelujah. And you got to see a little bit of humility here too on her part. I think that's so good. You know, Luke does such a good job here by the Holy Ghost of sharing, stories and intimately, you know, about people. In the book of Luke is different in a lot of ways than some of the Gospels. There's a real development of Jesus' life and a little more information about Mary and Elizabeth. And there's some humility on this on her part. She said, why is this granted to me? I mean, what have I done to deserve this? I mean, that I would be the one to be greeted and see the mother of my Lord. I mean, she was thankful and she was grateful and she was humble. Just like Mary was humble. You know, when God announced to her what He was going to do. That's the kind of people God uses, and that was the kind of person that God picked out, Mary in particular, to raise His son. I don't think we put a lot of weight on that or a lot of consideration or not a lot of thought into Mary. Sometimes we as Protestants don't give Mary the respect that she's due. I think sometimes maybe as Catholics we give her too much. Are you with me? Almost to the point of worship, and that would be wrong. We're not to worship Mary. We're to worship Jesus. But having said that, we need to respect and honor the fact that this was the woman, the one woman in all the world that God picked out to give birth to His Son and to raise His Son. Now, she's blessed among all women in that respect. And we should honor her in that respect. We don't pray to her. We don't worship her. Are you with me? But we should honor the fact that that's who she picked. She must have been some kind of woman. I mean, she must have really had it going on. You know what I mean? She must have had a humble spirit. She must have been full of the Word. We know she's full of the Word as you read on here. But she was the one that God picked. And she accepted. She received what God said, you know, for her, or prophesied that would happen to her. So anyway, Elizabeth is, you know, prophesying and full of the Holy Ghost. And it's getting kind of loud in there. A couple of wild Pentecostal women, you know, in there. Even before Pentecost. It says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord. And you can write it down. There will always be a performance of the things that the Lord told you if you believe. But there won't be a performance or a fulfillment of anything God tells you if you don't believe. Get quiet in here. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment or performance, King James says, of those things which were told her from the Lord. God's told me a lot of things. I got a Bible full of stuff He's told me. But you know what He fulfills and what He performs is the things that I believe. That's what caused it to, you know, come to pass. And Mary said, 46th verse. The 46th verse through the 55th verse is what is referred to as the Magnificat. It's a Latin word which means magnify, praise. And that's kind of what it starts out. My soul magnifies the Lord. That's the first thing she said. She began to sing. This is an ancient hymn, actually, the liturgical hymn. They used to sing this in early churches and still do in some, you know, in some very traditional churches. It was a song of praise that Mary sang. And it wasn't uncommon to do that. I mean, Hannah did the same thing, the mother of Samuel, the prophet. Remember, 1 Samuel? She sang a similar song as she sang out. It's proper to sing to the Lord. It's proper to praise the Lord. Amen. One thing you find from this, in examining this, is that Mary, in all the things she said here from the 46th verse down to the 55th verse, was that she was full of the Word. She was just a teenage girl, just a young lady. But this speaks volumes about her upbringing, about her parents, about her passion and her heart, and about her love for God and love for God's Word. I mean, I did a parallel here, and I started just looking at these things that she said, and they're almost identical to things that Isaiah said and Jeremiah said and Exodus and the book of Exodus, Moses said and the Psalms said. I mean, she was just from her heart coming out. What came out of the inside of her was what was in her. You know, you often wonder what just comes out of you naturally, what just comes out of you in a moment of joy, what would come out of you. Well, with her, there was no question. She was full of the Word. The Word came out. Wow. So those are characteristics that God chose Mary for her humility, chose her for her passion, chose her for her love for God and love for the Word. And that's who He chose to give birth to His Son through. And is it any secret? Think about it. Is it any mystery that when Jesus is 12, Luke talks about this, and he's in the temple disputing with the scribes, with the Sadducees, Pharisees, and these scholars. And they're saying, how did he know all this? You know, is there any mystery how he got all that? His mama was, I don't know about Joseph, maybe he was too, but I know his mama was full of the Word. You know his mama taught him and shared the Word with him. So he was no novice when he came along at 12. You say, well, he was God. Yes, but I'll tell you what, he heard and he learned as he grew. The Bible says he grew in wisdom and understanding and came to a knowledge of who he was. I don't think Jesus knew he was the Son of God when he was 6 months old. Hello, he was a baby. He grew into that and realized he was the Son of God. Wow, can you imagine? Getting quiet in here. See, a lot of times we don't think about these kind of things. But if you go through it, you see the Scripture, it addresses these things. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Hallelujah. Magnify, I love that. To magnify something is make it big. Isn't that right? So when we, you know, that's why we use that term when we talk about praise. When we talk about exalting God. We just sang, we exalt thee. We exalt, we lift up on high. Isn't that right? We elevate, we make Him big. We magnify the Lord instead of the problem, instead of the enemy, instead of our circumstance, instead of our weakness, instead of our failures. We magnify and make God big. We elevate God and make Him high. We exalt Him. He gets big and everything else gets little. Woo! My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He has regarded the lowly state. See, here's humility again. Just being humble. You know, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He'll exalt you in due time, the Scripture says. Well, here's two women that obviously had some humility in what Elizabeth said about being honored by the mother of her Lord. What Mary says about the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. I love that. She understood the implications of the word. I think sometimes we read the word, but we don't understand the impact of it. We don't realize how it changes things. Listen, the word changes everything. It changes you and everybody around you. She had enough discernment to realize that she was blessed for God to honor her like this, sure, but it was going to make a difference in her life and the way the world even viewed her. Wow. So you got no reason to be intimidated anymore, to walk in fear. The fear of man ought to just be burned out of you. God has a way of burning it out of us as we begin to trust in His Word, because what He says about us changes everything. Hallelujah. Amen. He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. I love that. Got to make it personal. Amen. I mean, you can say God's a healer all day long, but you need to say He is my healer. You can say He's a Savior all day long, but you need to lay claim to Him being my Savior. You can say He's a good shepherd all day long, but you need to be like David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that right? Got to make it personal. And Mary did that. Mary made it personal. She believed what God said, and she claimed what God said for her. She claimed personally for herself what God said for her. Be it unto me according to your word. I don't know how it's going to be for everybody else, but it's going to be for me according to what you said, God. That's what she said. I don't know what's going to happen to everybody else. I don't know about everybody else. All I know is me, and I know what you said about me, and it's going to be for me like you said. Mm-hmm. I'm preaching myself happy. I don't know about y'all. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. Now, this time, today, where I live, I was born for such a time as this. You were born for such a time as this. Don't talk about those good old days, those old Bible days, wish we were there. Listen, you're here and God's here now.
That's right. Amen.
God's still alive, and from generation to generation, His mercy is on those who fear Him. If you'll fear Him today, right now, His mercy is on you. Because He's not limited from generation to generation. He's not limited from time to time. He is now. He's always around. He's always here. He's always mighty. Hallelujah. Mighty to save. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in their imagination of their hearts. Well, you got to watch pride. It goes for destruction. The haughty spirit goes for a fall, the Bible says. And what He's saying here too, we see again, is how God honors humility. Humility comes before honor. God honors humility. He honors the humble spirit. He honors the person who submits to Him, who is humble before Him. You don't have to push your way through. It's not a dog-eat-dog world in that respect. You don't have to assert yourself. You don't have to stand up and demand your rights. Are you with me? If you will humble yourself before God and accept what God has for you through His Word, He will exalt you. Hallelujah. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. I just love that. See, we just get impatient, don't we? You know, anybody that's hollering and screaming and, you know, they're impatient. They've just, you can forget it. They've run out of faith. They've run out of trust. Now they feel like they've got to get involved to make it happen. We often hear, you know, people talk like that and you try to get them calmed down. You say, well, I'm just trying to take control of the situation. No, actually, you're losing control of the situation. You just lost control. I know there's time to be firm. I'm not talking about that. But I'm telling you, you start getting angry and start hollering and screaming, you've already lost trust. You've lost faith. You're not trusting God. You're impatient. Well, you got to calm down and say, you know what? I know what God says. It's going to be just like God said. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God here. I don't have to run over everybody to get this happen. I don't have to be mean. I don't have to compromise here. I don't have to holler. Are you with me? I don't have to sin to get this accomplished. All I have to do is believe. Just trust. Stay humble. Hallelujah. He exalts the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. 53rd verse. And the rich he has sent away empty. And he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he has spoke to our fathers, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Hallelujah. God has fulfilled his promise. That's what she was saying. God is a God of his word. God has done what he said he would do. And he's exalted the lowly. And exalted the humble. Hallelujah. You know, I was reading through here, and just those verses, the 46th verse through the 55th verse, that 46th verse says, my soul magnifies the Lord. That's real similar. It's exactly what Hannah said in 1 Samuel 2, verse 1. You don't have to turn there, but if you're writing notes, you might put that down. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. I rejoice in your salvation. And then she said, the 47th verse, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. There again, that's the same thing. She goes on down and says, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, 49th verse, and holy is his name. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. See, that was in her spirit. You know that was, because that came out of what she said. And Psalm 71:19 says, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. I mean, what she was doing, you know, she wasn't raised on American Idol. Are you with me? She wasn't raised on a Harlequin romance, you know. She wasn't raised, back then, she was raised in a family that honored the Lord, that read the Bible every day, whose lives were centered around God's Word and His promises, looking for the Messiah to come. And lo and behold, God used her to bring the Messiah forth. You know, I often think about that. I heard a line on a song. I can't remember exactly the song, what the name of the song was, but it says that this child that you delivered, I think it's Mary, Did You Know? If it's not, I think, I'm not sure if that's the one. Mary, Did You Know? This baby child. Okay. I think there's a line there that says, if it's not that, it's another one. And if it's not another one, that I'm just making the whole thing up. But it says, this child that you are delivering will grow up to deliver you. I love that. I began to meditate on that, how that, you know, what she delivered was the word. What she delivered was the promise that God made. Now, she was able to deliver the promise and the word because she believed, because that's what it takes to give birth to a promise. But here's what's so good. If you will deliver the word in your delivery and what you say and what you do, then what you say and what you do will mature and grow and deliver you. Yeah, a couple of you got it. Okay. See, what we deliver will deliver us.
Yeah.
Amen. Isn't that right? If we deliver the word, if we deliver what God says, if we say and we do what God says, then what we say and do will deliver us. I love that. So there's some parallel there. I mean, we're not saving ourselves. I don't say that. But I do know this, that your miracle, God, for some reason, always uses you to deliver you. doesn't he? I mean, you go to God with a need, and he tells you something to do. He tells you something to say. He tells you something to act on or repent of, whatever. He uses you in your deliverance. He always does, because you're the inroad. Okay, well, goes on and says this, "He that is mighty has done great things for me, and as holy is his name," 49th verse, and that's, of course, Psalm 71:19, and also Jeremiah 33:3. The 50th verse, "His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Well, that's what Exodus 20:6 says, "showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Psalms 103:17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." So we've already got her quoting 1 Samuel, Jeremiah 33, Psalm 71, Exodus 20, Psalms 103. Then she says in the 51st verse, she's singing this now. She's singing this praise out. "He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." Isaiah 40:10 says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his works before him." 52nd verse, "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." Hannah, when she sang praise to God in 1 Samuel 2:8, she said, "He raises up the poor out of the dust, lifted up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them."
Glory to God.
I'm just getting stirred up reading this. 53rd verse, "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty." Psalms 107:9 says, "For he satisfies the longing soul and filleth a hungry soul with goodness." Isn't that awesome? And then she goes on and says, "He hath holden or helped his servant Israel," which that's all in the scripture, "in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." I'll tell you, God will always visit, and God will always come on the scene, and God will always take up, you know, a habitation in a home that's full of the Word. Always. He's very much at home where a home is full of the Word. If you want his presence in your life, well, spend more time in God's Word. Amen. And worship him and praise him. If you need more miracles and you'd like to see more manifestations, well, let's just take a note from Mary. The biggest miracle ever was. The greatest thing that ever happened. The greatest event that ever took place. The birth of God, our Savior. Hallelujah. The birth of the man, Christ Jesus. Through someone who believed. Someone full of the Word. Someone that was humble. Someone that was passionate about the Word. Glory. And someone who had faith. That's what God's looking for. When I see Mary, I see that. I see an example to follow. I see things I need to work on. Humility, faith, Word. Amen? So it's Christmas.
It
didn't just happen. There were things that lined up for it to happen. Amen? There were things that had to be right. When they got right, then it came to pass. Maybe there's things we need to get right to get our answer or to get our, you know, whatever the case may be. Take note from Mary. Be a great one to follow.